committed to the international community to stop the violence in Ukraine, Gaza, East Congo, and Africa to continue. President Prabowo reminded the participating countries of the World Government Summit that if the crisis is left unchecked, uncontrollable changes will threaten world stability. The World Government Summit is a high-level conference held annually by the United Arab Emirates. Held for the first time in 2013, the forum is attended by leaders from various countries along with world institutions such as the United Nations, World Bank, International Monetary Fund, experts from various sectors, civil society organizations, industry, and the private sector. For this year's meeting, the Indonesian delegation was led by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The third news. Indonesia continues to leverage its membership in BRICS to expand market access and global supply chains. Ranos has the details.
Indonesia continues to optimize its membership in BRICS to strengthen trade in investment sector. Indonesian Deputy Ambassador to Russia Berlian Helmi said on Thursday that conventional commodity trade between Indonesia and Russia is experiencing the positive trend.
Perdagangan komoditi konvensional, kita tahu bahwa itu sudah berjalan bagus, bahwa kita trennya selalu meningkat dengan Rusia untuk volume perdagangannya, macam perdagangan juga kita bagus, selalu positif.
In addition to trade, Helmi said BRICS also open up border investment opportunities for Indonesia and Russia. Helmi highlighted several strategic sectors that can be developed, such as digital technology, the aviation industry, and the oil and gas sector. The Indonesian government continues to explore various opportunities so that cooperation in BRICS can bring maximal benefit to the national economy.
The next news. Indonesia continues to leverage its membership in BRICS to expand market access and global supply chains. Ranulf has the details.
Indonesian Deputy Ambassador to Russia, Berlian Helmi, explained that BRICS can serve as a gateway for Indonesia to enter non-traditional markets. Speaking at a forum organized by the Indonesia-Russia Friendship Association to celebrate 75 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Russia on Thursday, Helmi stated that Indonesia has a great opportunity to both export, diversify market, and expand supply chains in a more efficient and cost-effective manner.
Dalam hal ini kita bisa membuka
in this case we can open a gap, a space where we can optimize Indonesia's export potential and then diversify the market. The second thing is to extend the supply chain. Well, this is important. So with our entry into BRICS, there is a more cost-effective extension of the supply chain. So the logistics corridors that we play here in the middle, we can be okay. We can take advantage of it.
Helmi also mentioned that Indonesia is currently working on a free trade agreement with the Eurasian Economic Union, in which Russia is a member. According to him, Russia's involvement in BRICS provides the way for Indonesia to negotiate and acquire the finalization of the agreement. The government is aiming to final the Indonesia, the Eurasian Economic Union free trade agreement in the near future.
The fifth news. Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, appreciated 39 Australian business leaders' visit to Jakarta on Thursday. As quoted from his social media on Thursday, Yudhoyono said Indonesia and Australia have a strong partnership, and their discussion could open up opportunities for closer cooperation and real investment. During the meeting with the business leaders, he lauded Australia as a great investor in Indonesia.
Australia has been a great investor in Indonesia. Over the past decade, Australian investments in Indonesia have exceeded $4.3 billion, with annual investments surpassing $500 million. We are committed to providing greater clarity, stability, and opportunity for long-term partnerships. Looking ahead, I hope to see even more Australian businesses and investors seize the opportunities Indonesia has to offer.
According to the Australian Embassy in Jakarta, the Thursday meeting concluded the four-day visit country-level investment mission to Indonesia. The 39 business leaders are from 27 of Australia's leading investment firms and corporations. The investment mission said to be one of the greatest missions Australia had ever sent to visit Southeast Asia, exploring business opportunities and meeting Indonesia prospective partners. Some stakeholders visited the Indonesia Investment Authority and Indonesia's Minister of Health, Budi Gunadi Sadikin. And the sixth news. Minister of International Development of Canada, Ahmad Hussein, announced Canadian aid to contribute in Indonesia's development project. Andi Ramdoni has the details.
This money will also expand the grassroots power and capacity of women's movements and organizations that are doing work in their local communities. It will equip activists with skills and resources to advocate for their rights, including on gender equality. And it will improve health outcomes for Indonesian citizens, particularly in marginalized areas.
So today I'm pleased to announce that Canada is contributing an additional $10.7 million to this ASEAN-Canada Plan of Action Trust Fund. This will ensure strong regional engagement with ASEAN, and it will...
Canadian Minister of International Development Ahmed Hussein on Friday in Jakarta announced nearly $30 million in aid to contribute to the development process in Indonesia. He said that the aid was directed to improve the livelihoods of vulnerable groups, especially women and disadvantaged people.
This money will also expand the grassroots power and capacity of women's movements and organizations that are doing work in their local communities. It will equip activists with skills and resources to advocate for their rights, including on gender equality. And it will improve health outcomes for Indonesian citizens, particularly in marginalized areas, and vulnerable women and girls.
He also announced Canada's additional contribution to ASEAN. According to Ahmed Hussein, some $10.7 million is intended for the ASEAN-Canada Plan of Action Trust Fund. According to him, the aid will ensure a strong regional engagement between Canada and ASEAN and will also advance important trade negotiations.
So today I'm pleased to announce that Canada is contributing an additional $10.7 million to this ASEAN-Canada Plan of Action Trust Fund. This will ensure strong regional engagement with ASEAN, and it will also advance important trade negotiations.
Ahmed Hussein added that Canada is committed to continuing to be a reliable strategic partner for Indonesia and ASEAN so that they can work together for the benefit of the people and for sustainable and inclusive economic growth. Since 2000, Canada has provided over $1 billion in development assistance to Indonesia and close to $4.4 billion to ASEAN countries. Throughout that time, both parties have charted impressive economic growth rates, and today Indonesia has become a key market for Canadian businesses and investors, highlighting the success of these development initiatives to initiate a sustained inclusive economic growth in Indonesia. Ahmed Hussein added that Indonesia is now Canada's third largest bilateral trading partner in the ASEAN region, with two-way trade coming in at over $5 billion in 2024. Ani Ramdoni reporting.
And the next news. Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Yulia Tanjung revealed that the government is preparing 35 downstream projects worth around 123.8 billion US dollars or 2,000 trillion Indonesian rupiah to be offered to investors. Yulia on Friday said that the projects are being prepared to be offered to investors in order to accelerate downstreaming and encouraging the realization of energy security. As stated in Asta Cita, President Prabowo Subianto's program, in addition, in the agricultural sector, the government is also preparing an oleochemical project, which is a chemical derived from natural oils and fats. With the preparation of projects ready to be offered, Yulia hopes that the government can immediately offer them to potential investors. That's the news from Voice of Indonesia, and coming up next, here is a commentary by Daulat Pane entitled President Prabowo Delivers His Government's Commitment at the 2025 World Government Summit.
Here is today's commentary on radio and climate change. I'm Daulat Pane. In 2012, the United Nations declared February 13 as World Radio Day, a momentum to celebrate the role of radio as communication medium that remains relevant in the modern era. Radio begins its second century of service as one of the most reliable and widely used forms of media in the world. Radio contributes to the achievement of its international goals by supporting populations through climate disasters such as tropical cyclones and floods. Radio helps disseminate fact-based information, listeners' voices, and special radio programs. This year, UNESCO carries the theme Radio and Climate Change, highlighting how radio contributes to raising awareness, education, and real action on the climate crisis that is increasingly threatening the planet. This year's theme reflects the importance of radio in disseminating information about climate change, environmental policies, and mitigation efforts that can be carried out by the global community. With its wide reach and high accessibility, radio is an effective communication tool to provide environmental education to various levels of socially, including those in remote areas. In her official statement, UNESCO Director General Audrey Azoulay emphasized that radio has an important role in building collective awareness of climate change. Radio has been long used to convey information related to extreme weather, forest fires, floods, and other natural disasters that are increasingly occurring due to climate change. In many countries, radio is also the main media in spreading campaigns to reduce carbon emissions, environmentally friendly lifestyles, and government policies related to environmental sustainability. In Indonesia, radio is often used for early warnings of disasters such as earthquakes, tsunamis, or flash floods, educating the public about the impacts of deforestation, air pollution, and global warmings. Raising the voices of local communities in dealing with the impact of climate change, such as farmers who experience crop failures due to extreme weather. World Radio Day 2025 reminds us that this media is not just a means of disseminating information and entertainment, but also a powerful tool to create positive change for the environment. With its information power, radio can be spearheaded in building global awareness of the need for real action in dealing with the climate crisis. Happy World Radio Day 2025. Let's use radio to save the world.
Open your eyes. Screen time.
Screen time.
Yay! But sometimes they don't.
Screen time.
Okay. Changes in behavior may be a sign that our children have been exposed to inappropriate content or online bullying or predators. Pay attention to the sign. It's not too late.
Screen time.
Dad, help me. Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
Tiap kali jumpa dirinya. semua rasa yang ada dan hatiku bertanya-tanya, apakah mungkin dia definisi bahagia? Dengannya ku bersedia. Petik bintang di langit ketujuh, asalkan hati memang selalu tuju pada hatimu ku terjatuh. Ajaklah hatiku menari hingga tiada sedih di hati. Jadilah sebuah definisi bahagia yang selalu ku nanti. Tebarkan cabar kemari dada, dan hatiku bertanya-tanya, apakah mungkin dia definisi bahagia? Dengannya ku bersedia. Tiada sedih di hati, jadilah sebuah definisi bahagia yang selalu ku nanti. Aku harap engkau mengerti.
That was Fidi Aldiano with Deginisi Bahagia. And speaking of happiness, why don't we go outside and find a place to chill around and watch the sunset goes down. And here is an idea for you with Filler from Voice of Indonesia with Rangsang Beach.
Selat Rangsang Beach, located in East Siantan District, Anambas Islands, Riau Islands Province, seems to be hidden because it is flanked by small islands that are quite hilly. The Selat Rangsang Beach is on 244 hectares island. The beach is not so wide, but its position is really surrounded by clear water that has gradation colors between green and bluish. Almost every corner of the Selat Rangsang Beach can certainly be snorkeling and diving spots which offer undersea amazing panoramas. Coral reef and marine biota at the beach have various kinds of species, and also the ecosystem is relatively well maintained. At Selat Rangsang Beach, you can do diving, snorkeling, and fishing. At the beach, all places can become fishing areas. But if you want more something challenging, you can directly do fishing in the middle of the sea. To go there, you should go by boat and have enough fishing equipment. If you do not have the equipment, don't worry, because you can still enjoy the scenery of the beach or swimming in the shallow water of the beach. Without snorkeling equipment, you can see coral reefs and multicolored fish swimming at the bottom of the sea with naked eyes. It is really an amazing scenery which can fresh your eyes. Listener, if you love marine tourism, please set your time to visit and have a vacation at Selat Ransang Beach. We guarantee that you will be satisfied. And if you visit Anambas Islands, you better explore the islands one by one by renting a boat or trekking to some islands.
You might be familiar with this sound when your kids are online. But you might miss some other sounds. Your child might stumble upon harmful content, bullies and predators when they are online. Pay attention to the sounds. It's not too late.
Mom, what's this?
Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
Rupat Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Rupat Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupat Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Rupat Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Rupat Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Rupat Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Rupat Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Rupat Island, you have to cross by boat known as Roro Ship or Roll-on Roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Rupat Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
Oh, selalu berarti. Sentuhan tak akan terganti. Di sampingmu semua bisa ku lalui. Ku kan datang saat ini juga. Tunggu di sana. Sejauh saja. Oh yeah. Ku akan ada. Bersamamu.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bali. Di Bali, which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a domestic tourist at Tita Empul Temple, a popular destination in Gianyar Regency Bali. And Chris and the domestic tourist are reading a regulation of Tita Empul Temple. Then they talk about what should be done at the temple.
Supaya memakai pakaian adat. Berarti saya harus memakai pakaian adat Bali.
Betul, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini.
Aduh, saya tidak punya.
Jangan khawatir, kita bisa meminjam kain adat yang disediakan.
After listening to the conversation, here's some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. Memakai, memakai, which means wear. Pakaian, pakaian, which means clothing. Pakaian adat. Pakaian adat, which means customary clothing. Bali, Bali, which means Bali. Area, area, which means area. Pura, pura, which means temple. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini, which means we should be wearing Balinese customary clothing around the temple. Jangan, jangan, which means don't. Khawatir, khawatir, which means worry. Jangan khawatir, jangan khawatir, which means don't worry. Kain, kain, which means clothes. In this conversation, you will hear the expression, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini, which means we should be wearing Balinese customary clothing around the temple. In the expression, there is the word seharusnya, which means should be. The word means that something is required to be done in an activity. This means wearing Balinese traditional clothing is required at Tirta Empul Temple. Another example. Let's listen to another use of the word seharusnya, which means should be. Seharusnya Anda menjaga kebersihan di area pura. Seharusnya Anda menjaga kebersihan di area pura, which means you should keep cleanliness around the temple. Seharusnya kita naik motor ke pura ini. Seharusnya kita naik motor ke pura ini, which means we should take a motorbike to the temple. Tirta Empul Temple is a temple for Balinese Hindu in Bali, which is also a favorite tourism destination. The temple is located in Gianyar Regency. At Tirta Empul Temple, visitors can join the Malukat, a purification ritual in a hallowed pool. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, here's another round of the conversation.
Supaya memakai pakaian adat. Berarti saya harus memakai pakaian adat Bali.
Betul, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini.
Aduh, saya tidak punya.
Jangan khawatir, kita bisa meminjam kain adat yang disediakan.
Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about seharusnya. Seharusnya, which means should be. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve. Sampai jumpa.
Listener,
something amazing is always happening in our life, and make sure to always stay amazing, because you don't know what will come in the future. And for listener, thank you so much for accompanying me in this 12 hours broadcast with me from Voice of Indonesia. I'm Ray, and you can always send your critics, suggestion, and also information through our social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI _official. We also have our email address in voi@voinews.id and WhatsApp number in +62 8212381213 0. And VOI listener, before I end today's broadcast, I would like to say that thank you for accompanying me this whole day. And of course, VOI listener, you will be accompanied by a feature from us with Henny Sundani to close up today's broadcast. My name is Ray, and always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Sungguh luar biasa.
I almost dropped out of school. At that time, my father had no money anymore. I wanted to study, but I couldn't do anything. I wanted to work. Suddenly, Henny came. She asked me to go to school again. My life has changed once Henny came. She was my savior.
That was said by Henny, one of the farmer's children in the village of Ciglap, Bogor, West Java, who almost could not continue studying to senior high school. Luckily, she received a scholarship from Henny Sri Sundani, an ex-housemate in Hong Kong. Henny worked for 6 years in there. Once she got back to her homeland, Henny initiated Smart Children of Farmers movement by giving learning assistance and scholarship to hundreds of farmer's children. Having graduated from SMK 1 State Vocational School Banjar in 2005, Henny had a dream to continue her study at a university. However, as she did not have enough money, she decided to work in Hong Kong. There, she got an opportunity to study at a university on weekends. In 2011, she graduated from St. Mary's University with a cum laude distinction, although at first Henny did not tell her employer that she studied at a university. Once she came back from Hong Kong, Henny got married and lives in the village of Jampang, Bogor, West Java. Since 2013, she started being active to go from one kampung or village to another and give extra classes to farmers' children in Sasak Village and Jampang Village on the weekends. The activities that she calls Smart Children of Farmers Movement then expanded to other villages. The sun rises, the dawn comes. Henny Sri Sundani goes to the paddy field not to farm, but to teach the children of the farmers. Ciglap village is only 60 kilometers from the capital city of Indonesia, but the villages who are mostly farmers are still poor. The atmosphere is seen not only in the classroom, but also in a bamboo sarung or gazebo situated beside a small river and a dam. The rain has fallen since midnight. The road, which is mostly not asphalt, turns muddy. However, about 200 children have been waiting for 1 hour before the class begins.
Assalamualaikum.
sebagian besar memang kan anak-anak di sini orang tuanya bekerja sebagai buruh tani.
Most of the children's parents here work as farmers, so we can see physically that their houses are still with bamboo plated walls. Most of them study only until elementary school level. Some even stop studying in the fifth grade. I teach children who are not only from Cigalat but also from four other kampongs. The surrounding kampongs also come here.
Honey, who was born in the farmer's family, has experienced what the children experience. The woman born in Ciamis, West Java on May 2, 1987, felt that nobody cared about her. That's what motivated Honey to initiate the Smart Children of Farmers movement.
Jadi memang ayah saya kan memang buruh tani saja gitu. Ibu juga sama seperti itu. Sehingga kami tinggal di sebuah kampung yang memang terpencil, kurang lebih sama seperti ini, di sebuah dusun ya, sangat terpencil.
My parents are farmers. We lived in a remote kampung in a very remote hamlet that it is far from access to health and education. My parents work as farmers because they did not have land. My grandparents were also farmers. Actually, not all people of war in the kampung. Some have performed such pilgrimage, but it's all about caring. Nobody cares.
Children of farmers in Cigalat village have intelligence which is below average. Some of the second graders cannot read yet. However, a villager named Ita thanks to Henny for making her child smarter.
Ya, ada perubahan. Dia semakin pintar. Pintar belajar.
My child is smarter and more diligent. My child was not that smart, but now my child can read, know numbers, and know letters. Alhamdulillah, thanks God. I find it really helpful. I'm so happy.
What is done by Henny to educate the children of farmers through the Smart Children of Farmers movement is welcomed not only by the villagers, but also by the volunteers and youth in Cigalat village. Every week, Henny does not teach alone. More than 10 volunteers participate in here. On that day, a pencaksilat or martial art trainer from Perisai Diri Martial Art School came.
Ya, sekarang kaki kanan di mana? Yang kanan ini. Pegang. Mundur yang kanan. Ya, mulai. Satu. Lagi. Mundur kanannya. Satu. Tak, gini tak. Yuk, siap lagi. Siap.
Now Henny, who received the Indonesian Smart Active Award in Hong Kong, guided five villages in Kemang District, Bogor, West Java. The villages include Kampung Sasak, Kampung Pulo, Kampung Cigalat, Kampung Babakan Pulo, and Kampung Jampang. Besides this, since 2014, Henny has established a library at home and has held classes every Monday and Tuesday.
Di perpustakaan Abatasa sebenarnya programnya banyak ya. Jadi
we have many programs in the Abatasa library like cooking class, computer class, and English class. So it has more a life skill class. The children read a lot or make origami. We want to instill character education to the children in various ways through various interesting skills according to their age.
The Smart Children of Farmers movement is a small part of the Farmers Empowerment Program initiated by Henny. She also helped to develop other programs for the farmers. Various sanitation improvements and health programs are done.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, good. Last day, we are study about present.
Jadi kami programnya itu, so besides the health program, we also have an economic and social empowerment program. In the field of health, we build bathing facilities and toilets, and real well because many people still did MKK or toilets in a ditch with buffaloes and ducks. The sanitation was certainly bad and it caused a bad lifestyle. We also often distribute dental health tools and soap to the children.
People are very thankful for the assistance given by Hani. Anwar, a Tigla villager whose house was almost collapsed, now has a proper house that accommodates 11 children and grandchildren, thanks to Hani.
Saya juga merasa terharu ya, merasa berterima kasih betul sama Bu Hani karena telah apa namanya?
I really thank Hani for helping me and my children who now can go back to school. When I was sick, Hani even knew it. She always monitors my children and I. Thank God, my grandchildren can live here. Oh God, I'm really grateful that someone still cares about me. The various programs that Hani runs were self-funded at first. The fiction writer with a pen name Jaladara often writes about her activities in the social media. From there, she gets many donors.
Beberapa donatur kadang, oh mbak maaf ya bulan ini nggak bisa, tapi kita ke anak-anak.
The donor sometimes say, sorry I cannot give a donation this month, but we still give the donation to the children. Sometimes we cover it. If the test is coming, we have to pay. We have to handle it by ourselves. One day we have to pay the test fees for the children, but we only had 145,000 rupiah in our account. At the same time, we had a class at home and we had to pay the electricity. So we paid 100,000 for the electricity and there was 45,000 left in our ATM account. On the other hand, it was still middle of the month. But thanks to God Almighty, there is always a way out.
The dry land is restless. The leaves are sentinels for the fate of the farmers. Born as the child of farmers, Hani moved from one village to another to live in the dreams of the farmers' children.
Thank you. Wakara Korewa, Voice of Indonesia desu. で放送されているファイズスのネイシャはインドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく様々な情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および LL デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。Selamat malam, konbanwa. Kyo, watashi, Isan ga 1 jikan no Nihongo hosou wo okuri itashimasu. Kyo wa niusu, Indonesia no ongaku, sore tomo iroiro na Indonesia no joufou wo otodoke shimasu. Tsugi wa niusu wo otsutai shimasu. Iki tsuzuki, shuhasu 332kHz ya 4755kHz から Voice of Indonesia の放送をお聞きください。そして foinews.id からも Voice of Indonesia のストリーミングを聞いてください。ですので皆さんニュースで、それでは最初のニュースです。プラボー大統領はガザでの暴力停止を呼びかけることについてお伝えします。インドネシアのプラボー・スビアント大統領は国際社会に対しガザーの苦しみを終わらせ、直ちにガザーを復興するよう呼びかけました。これは2025年2月13日木曜日に開催された世界政府サミット2025年での演説で述べられたものです。プラボー大統領はガザーの平和を確保するために公正な解決を目指す努力を支援し、二国家締結、に基づく解決策を推進することが必要であると強調しました。
We must ensure peace prevails.
私たちは平和を確実にしなければなりません。ガザはすでに十分な苦しみを受けてきました。今こそ家を再建し、学校を再開し、日常を取り戻す時です。インドネシアは公正で持続可能な解決策を目指す、進撃な努力を支持します。その基盤となるのは、二国家解決です。さらに大統領は国際社会に対し、ウクライナ、ガザ、東コンゴ、アフリカで続く暴力の連鎖を許してはならないと改めて訴えました。プラボー大統領は、世界政府サミットの参加国に対し、この危機を放置すれば、制御不能な変化が世界の安定を脅かすことになると警告しました。それでは次のニュースです。ユネスコ事務局長は、ラジオとその独自の役割を守るよう呼びかけることについてお伝えします。ユネスコのオードリー・アズレイ事務局長は、ラジオという強力なメディアの形を祝い、保護するようすべての人々に呼びかけました。彼女は、ラジオが電波を通じて最も遠隔地にも届き、災害リスクを軽減するための早期警報システムとして機能することができると述べました。2025年2月13日木曜日の世界ラジオの日に際して、発表された公式メッセージの中で、アズレイ事務局長は、電波が大陸を越えて届き、受信機が極めて少ない。